Arat Avosa, good morning.
Let's begin. Last line, Yud Beis Amud Beis. Yud Beis Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Mishum Rabbi Yishmal Omer, Tamid Echad. So Avosa, if you remember again, in the Mishnah, we had an interesting machlokes. The Mishnah quoted Talmud Echad, one student. Rabbi Shmuel said that one student said in front of Rabbi Akiva that Beis Shai and Beis Hillel only disagreed or did not disagree on a mavui that was less than four amos. That both agreed that in that case you either need a lechi or a korah. They only disagreed in a case of a mavui that's between four amos and ten amos. That in that case Beis Shammai said lechi and korah, and Beis Hillel said lechi or korah. So the Gemara says, and Rabbi Akiva said, no, not true. They argue even in a case of pachos midal ramas, even in a case of an opening less than four amos. Rabbi Akiva Omer Azaz Alzev Zenechlaku, top of Yud Gimel. Rabbi Akiva Hainu Tanakama. So the Gemara says Rabbi Akiva would seem to be of the same opinion as the Tanakama, because we also say the Tanakama, remember, also began the statement in the Mishnah by saying that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel disagree on what you need in order to permit the entrance of a mavui. Beis Hillel said lechi o korah. Beis Shammai said lechi u korah. And the Tanakama did not qualify how large the entranceway is, which makes it like Rabbi Akiva and Tanakama saying the same thing. Ika benayu derav achli ve'itim Rabbi Yechiel. So no, the nafkamina would be the position of Rav Achli, and some say it wasn't Rav Achli, but it was Rav Yechiel. I will say, bottom line, take a look at Rashi, Rav Achli, mavui pachos me arba tfachim. So I will say, remember we saw this yesterday, about what do you do in a case of a mavui entranceway that's whose opening is less than four tfachim. Less than four tfachim. So chad minayhu, islahu da arba u me arba u lamala pligi, aval pachos me arba in zarakum. So I will say, if you remember again, Rav Achli, or some say it was Rav Yechiel, same letters, one yod difference. So Rav Achli and Rav Yechiel so hold that if you have an entranceway that is less than Dalit Tfachim, you don't need anything. It doesn't require any kind of tikkun. So the Gemara wants to suggest that maybe the point of contention between Rabbi Akiva and the Tanakhama is whether or not they hold a Rav Achli. One does hold a Rav Achli, that an entranceway less than four tefachim doesn't need anything. And the second opinion says, no, even an entranceway less than four tefachim would still be subject to the machlokes Beis Shammai Beis Hillel. The Lomis Saimi Rav Osai means, but we don't know who holds what. Meaning, so we don't know if it's the Tanakhama or if it is Rabbi Akiva who holds or doesn't hold the Rav Achli. Tanya, Amr Rabbi Akiva, listen to this. So the Brisa says the following, Amr Rabbi Akiva, Lo Amr Rabbi Shmuel Davar Zeh. Rabbi Shmuel did not actually say this. Ella Oso Talmid Amr Davar Zeh. Rather, it was this particular student who actually said this. Look at Rashi. Lo Rabbi Shmuel Amr Davar Zeh. Muchzak Ani Bo Shu Chacham. Ume Olam Lo Amr Davar Zeh. So Rabbi Akiva said, there's no way Rabbi Shmuel said this. Why? Because Rabbi Shmuel is too much of a Tam Chacham to have ever made this statement. Rather, Ella Osa Talmud, rather this unnamed disciple, who we'll name it in just a few moments, actually made this particular statement. Amar Davarza, V'halocha ki Osa Talmud. And the halocha happens to follow this particular Talmud. So the Gemara says, Dr. Goldberg, there's a Gemara right up here. Not just right there. Prepared it there, right for you. So the Gemara says the following. Hagufakasha. This seems to be a contradiction. So the Gemara says, Hagufakasha. So we'll say, what's the kasha? So Amrit lo Amr Bishmal Davarzeh. I'm a less hilchasakavase, Yud Gimel Aleph. So on one hand you say that Rabbi Shmuel didn't say this, therefore the halacha doesn't follow him. Vahadar Amr, and then you said halacha ki osa talmid, that the halacha follows Talmud. So we'll say again, Rabbi Akiva makes a very strange statement. Rabbi Akiva first says, there is no way that Rabbi Shmuel said this, because Rabbi Shmuel is too much of a Talmud Chacham to say it. Rather, it was this Talmud who said it, and the halacha follows the Talmud. So it doesn't make sense. When Rabbi Akiva says that Rabbi Shmuel didn't say it, that would seem to indicate that the halacha does not follow this view. Then you go ahead and you say the halacha follows Osa Talmud, which means what? The halacha does follow this view. So what's the pshat? So the Gemara says, V'had amr halacha Osa Talmud, Amr Rabbi Huda Amr Shmuel, Lo Amra Rabbi Akiva, Ela Lechadeid Ba HaTalmidim. When Rabbi Akiva said that the halacha follows this Talmud, he wasn't saying it literally. Rather, what was he saying? He was doing it to sharpen the Talmidim. What does this mean, Abbas? Take a look at Rashi. Lo Amr Rabbi Shmuel, Lahai Halacha Ke'osa Talmud. When Rabbi Shmuel said that the halacha follows this particular Talmud, Ela lechadet es hatamidim. He was doing it to sharpen his students. Sheyasimu libam leTorah. That they should apply their hearts to Torah. V'yomru pilpul milibam. And they should say pilpul. They should create a halachic discourse from within. Lefichach shibchu b'fneim. Therefore, he praised it in front of them. We'll say, what does that mean? So what is the Gemara suggesting over here? Although the halacha does not follow this particular Talmud, who said over this ruling in front of Rabbi Akiva, or in front of Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Akiva was praising his erudition. Right? Rabbi Akiva was praising his intellect, that the Talmud thought. The Talmud was offering an insight. And so when Rabbi Akiva said halacha kimoso, he didn't literally mean that the halacha follows this Talmud. What he was saying to the other Talmidim is, you should have this kind of halachic ingenuity to go ahead and also come up with these ideas. All right, it's not accepted lahalacha, but the discussion itself is beneficial. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak Amar Mirin. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says, in fact, that the Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak had a different girsa, and he said that Rabbi Akiva did not say that the halacha is like this Talmud. Rather, what Rabbi Akiva said is the words of this Talmud are Mirin. Nirin means that they appear. They appear to be correct. Rashi says, Nirin itmar, Nirin divrei osa Talmud. I hear, or I see, the words of this Talmud, which Rabbi say is also a seal of approval on the words, but again, not accepting them halacha lamaisa. Itmar. Am Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. So Rabbi say, now the Gemara says, the Gemara is going to try to figure out who was this Talmud. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, Komakam sha'ata motze. Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amar Talmud Echam Lefnei Rabbi Akiva. Whenever you see this verbiage, this introductory phrase of that they said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, that a certain student said over something in front of Rabbi Akiva, Eino Elo Rabbi Meir. This is none other than Rabbi Meir. Sheshimesh es Rabbi Shmuel ve es Rabbi Akiva, who did his shimush, right? Who served under Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva. This time, listen to this. Rabbi Meir. Kishayisi eitzel Rabbi Yishmael. When I learned under Rabbi Yishmael, hayisi matil kankonsum l'soch hadiyom. I used to pour kankonsum into diyo. So kankonsum is this ingredient, we'll see, that essentially renders the ink unerasable. Unerasable. So Rabbi Meir says that when I was learning about Rabbi Yishmael, I used to put this kankonsum into the ink. The Rebbe says, let's say for writing Sifrei Kodesh, v'lo amar li dover, and Rabbi Shmuel never said anything to me. Kishabasi etz Rabbi Akiva, when I came up from Rabbi Akiva, asra alai, Rabbi Akiva told me that it's mamish asr. Mamish asr. So the Gemara says, ini, is this so? V'ha amar Rabbi Yehuda amar Shmuel, but Rabbi Yehuda is the name of Shmuel, Mishum Rabbi Meir. Kishayisi lomed eitzer Rabbi Yishmael. Now the Gemara is going to record a different account of Rabbi Yishmael's education, and he said the following: Mishroi Meir. Kishayisi lomed eitzer Rabbi Akiva. When I was learning by Rabbi Akiva, hayisi matil kan konsum l'sochadio velo amrali davar. When I was learning by Rabbi Akiva, I used to put kan konsum into the ink, and Rabbi Akiva never said anything to me. Ukishabasi eitzer Rabbi Yishmael. When I came to Rabbi Yishmael, amrali bini. And when I came before Rabbi Shmuel, and I was then Rabbi Shmuel saw me doing this, he said to me, "My son, what is your profession?" So Amarti lo lavlar ani. I said to him, "I'm a sofer. I'm a scribe." Amar lo bni, have a zoyer b'malachtecha. Be very careful with your work. Shemaleches shamayim hi, because what you do is literally maleches shamayim. Shema ato mechaser os achos, because if you go ahead and you leave out one letter. O miyaser os achas, or you add in one letter, nimtzeis machriv es kol ha'olam kulo. You could potentially destroy the entire world. I will say, look at Rashi for just a moment. So Rashi says, machaser os achas. Rashi says, for example, v'hashem elokim emes. He's quoting over here, interesting quoting over here from the pesukim from Yirmiyo. It says, Hashem elokim emes, v'imtechser aleph. What happens, God forbid, if you leave out an aleph from that? You have Hashem Elokim, Chas Shalom, Mace. So one word, you could just literally destroy the world. Hari Atamachriv, Vayidaber Hashem, Im Tosif Os Achos. Right? If you were to go ahead and add in one letter, like a Yud, for example, V'tichtavu, V'yidabru, Nimtzeis Machriv. Right? So what happens? We'll say, Vayidaber is singular, Vayidabru Hashem, would seem to give the indication of polytheism. So here you have Rabbi Shmuel telling Rabbi Meir, be very careful with your work, because if you subtract or you add one letter, when it says you could destroy the world, what it means is you could cause people to have serious theological problems. So the Gemara says, Amarati lo, Rabbi Shmuel said to, Rabbi Meir said to Rabbi Shmuel, I said to him, don't worry, Dover Echad Yeshli, there's one thing I have, the Kan Konsum Shmuel, his name is Kan Konsum, Sha'ani Mati L'Sochadiyo, and I put it in the ink. V'chi Matil, so okay, I put it into the ink. So the Gemara now pauses here for just a moment. V'chi Matil in Kan Konsum L'Sochadiyo, aye, but can you go ahead and, are you permitted to put Kan Konsum into the ink? V'havo Amra Torah, the Kasav Umacha, but yet the Torah says, Rabbi says specifically by Sota, right? The Torah, remember, the Isha Sota is the woman who's suspected of adultery. So there's a whole process that happens. The husband brings her to the Beis HaMikdash. The Parsha Sota is dissolved in water, and she drinks that water. So the Torah says, you will write it, and you will dissolve it. So the Gemara darshans from there, Ksav Sha'ata Yachol Limchos, that in order for Ksiva to be appropriate, it has to be the type of writing that's capable of being erased. My Ka'amarle, my Kamahadule. So what exactly is the nature of this conversation over here? So the Gemara says the following, Hachi Ka'amarle. So this is what Rabbi Meir was saying to Rabbi Shmuel. Lomi boy, bechaseros v'yeseros delotayinah. So Rabbi Meir, remember, Rabbi Shmuel was saying to Rabbi Meir, you have to be so careful with your profession, because again, how you write and what you write determines so many different things. So Rabbi Meir responds, Rabbi, don't worry. Lomi boy, bechaseros v'yeseros delotayinah. You don't have to worry about chaseros and yiseros. Both the chaseros and yiseros, remember, are words, and there are certain words in the Torah that are written differently than, or I should say, written differently than the way they're pronounced. Sometimes words are a chaser, which means they're deficient a letter. Sometimes they have yiseros, they have an additional letter. So Rabbi Meir says to Rabbi Shmuel, don't worry, I'm proficient in those halachos and know exactly what to do. Didbaki ana, don't worry, I'm an expert in it. Ela afilu mechosh lezvuv nami. Dilma osiv yosiv atagi de dalid, umachikle, umashvili resh. And so Rabbi Meir says, but Rabbi, maybe you're going to be concerned. Bishon, maybe you're going to be concerned that what's going to happen? I'm going to be writing, and maybe a fly is going to come and sit on the crown of the dalid. And by sitting on the crown of the dalid, do what? Will erase it and make it into a resh. He said, Rabbi, don't worry about that. Davar echad yeshli, bet kan konsum shmo, sha'animate lesochadio. Rebbe, don't worry, because I have this thing called Kan Konsum, and essentially it makes the ink unerasable. So therefore, as soon as I write it, the ink, the print is there, and even if a fly were to come and settle on the crown of the Dalit, it wouldn't erase anything. And Rabbi said, before we go on, the Gemara says, Kasha Shimush Hashimush, Kasha Asra Asra. So Rabbi said, these two accounts are contradictory on two levels. First of all, they're contradictory in their order. Right? That in the first Braisa, Rabbi Meir first did his Shimush under Rabbi Yishmael, and then went ahead and went to Rabbi Akiva. And as opposed to the second one, where he was first at Rabbi Akiva, and then at what? And then afterwards at Rabbi Yishmael. Furthermore, in the first account, Rabbi Yishmael allowed for Kan Konsum, and Rabbi Akiva asked it. In the second account, Rabbi Akiva allowed the Kan Konsum, and Rabbi Yishmael didn't necessarily asked it, but Rabbi Yishmael questioned. So the Gemara says, Kasha Shimush Hashimush, Kasya Asra Asra. So the two accounts contradict each other on two levels. Number one, the order of Shimush. Who did Rabbi Meir learn from first? Now, both you should know, in Gemara, these are actually very important questions. Because to know who your primary Rebbe is a very, very important thing, especially in the transmission of Torah Shabbat Peh. Who did you get your Masorah from? Who molded your thinking? Ultimately, whose shitos did you accept? So this is not just like, because we want to know some historical information, it's very important for us. Also, the Kan Konsum obviously is important for us as well. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Kasha Shimush Hashimush. Okay, actually, we just said that side. So the Gemara said the following. Bishlama Shimush Hashimush Lokasha. So listen to how fascinating this is. So the Gemara says, when it comes to the contradiction about Shimush, that's not a contradiction. Why? Me'ikara aslakami de Rabbi Akiva. Because really, the second Braisa is correct. Right? Really, Rabbi Meir first went to Rabbi Akiva. But what happened? Umidalo matzi lemekim alibe aslakami de Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Meir left him. Why? because literally Rabbi Meir was not able to ascertain what the particular shitos of Rabbi Akiva were. I will say, what does that mean? Take a look at this Rashi. This is quite amazing. Rashi says, it's in the Rashi, Kashi Shimush Hashimush. So Rashi says, Rabbi Akiva, Haya Charif Tuva. Rabbi Akiva was exceptionally smart. V'lo Matzi Rabbi Meir L'meikim Alivius. So I'll say, what the Gemara says is the following. Rabbi Akiva, his intellectual gift was that he was able to argue both sides. We have many examples of this in the Gemara in a compelling fashion, which is incredible for Rabbi Akiva, but very difficult for a Talmud. Why? Because of course, you have to understand something, that this is a little bit lost today because Baruch Hashem, we have a lot more access to just independent information. But from the Gemara's perspective, the role of a Rebbe was to give the Talmud, like, this is what we do. This is what we do. A, B, C, D, and E, this is how we live, this is how we practice, this is what we do. And then, of course, fill in all of the reasons. So for a Talmud to go to a Rebbe and not be clear on what the shitos of the Rebbe were was very difficult for the Talmud. So we married King to learn about Rabbi Akiva, but because Rabbi Akiva is so smart, so what is the Talmud here? Rabbi Akiva is always arguing both sides. So what does Rabbi Meir say? Rabbi Meir says, I need shitos, right? I need principles. I need facts. I need to know what to do. Okay, after I know what we accept, what we do, then we can argue both sides. So he couldn't get that clarity from Rabbi Meir, and therefore what happens? Therefore, he goes, Va'asa kami to Rabbi Shmuel. He goes to Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemar Gemara. For Rabbi Shmuel, he got what the Gemara calls Gemara. Gemara is obviously not what we have, but Gemara means knowledge. Knowledge. He got all the knowledge, all the shitos, and then this is amazing. Then he goes out to Rabbi Akiva for what? For Svara. They will say, what is Svara? Svara is analysis. So we'll say, remember, the Gemara has this fundamental machlokes as to what is a higher level to be of what the Gemara calls a Sinai or an Oker Harim. A Sinai is someone with incredible knowledge. Incredible knowledge. Oker Harim, to be an uprooter of mountains, is someone who possesses incredible powers of analysis. So the Gemara discusses which one is better. So at the end of the day, the Gemara says, well, you kind of need both, right? Because what are you going to analyze if you don't have the knowledge? But the idea is there is this concept of first you have to acquire knowledge, and then analysis comes afterwards. Otherwise, sometimes analysis without knowledge is an exercise in futility, because a person ends up going ahead and just getting into all of these analyses, and you don't even know what you're really talking about. So therefore, what Rabbi Meir does is, Rabbi Meir first goes to Rabbi Shmuel, gets the knowledge, the Gemara, and then goes back to Rabbi Akiva for the analysis. So the Gemara says, Ela Asra Asra Kasha. Right, but what do you do about the Kan Kansum? Right? In the first case, Rabbi Shmuel said nothing, Rabbi Akiva answered it. Second case, Rabbi Akiva said nothing, Rabbi Shmuel questioned it. So the Gemara says, Tanya, Rabbi Huda Omer, Rabbi Meir, Haya Omer. Rabbi Meir used to say, L'kol Matilin Kan Kansum. Rabbi Meir said you could put Kan Kansum, L'sochadio, to make the ink unerasable, Chutz me Parsha Sota, with the exception of Parsha Sota. Rabbi Yaakov Omer Mishma, Rabbi Yaakov says in his name, Chutz mi parsha sota sheba mikdash. So here you have Rabbi Yaakov qualifying this a little bit further. Not just any parsha sota, but parsha sota in the base hamikdash. My benayu. What's the practical difference between these two shitos? Well, this is actually very interesting. Amar Rabbi Yirmiya limchok la minat Torah ika benayu. You know what the nafkamina is? The nafkamina, as I will say, is can you remove parsha sota from the Torah, from a Torah scroll, and use that for a sota? So let's say for argument's sake, the Parsha Sota I have is written on one column, right, one column of parchment that I could detach from the Torah. So could I take out that Parsha from a Sefer Torah and just use it in the base Hamikdash for Parsha Sota? So the Gemara says, Vahani Tanoi. And therefore, again, the Gemara is suggesting that Rabbi Yaakov, who said that you could use Kan Kansum, except for Parsha Sota, Sheba Mikdash, holds that you can't use Parsha Sota from the Torah. You have to write another piece of parchment, as opposed to Rabbi Meir, who holds that you can go ahead and put Dio into everything except for Parsha Sota. He doesn't qualify Parsha Sota, and therefore seems to say that what? That you could even use Parsha Sota that's written in the Torah. So the Gemara says, Vahani Tanai, Kahani Tanai, and these Tanaim seem to mimic an already existing Machlokis Tanaim, this Sanya. Ein Megilosa Kesher Lahashkos Bas Sota, Acheres. If you write, Rabosa, if you write Parsha Sota to go ahead and give a particular Sota to drink, And then what happens? She decides not to drink it. Rashi says, look at the last Rashi. In Megillasa Kshera, Sota Shenichtava Megillasa. If you have a Sota, for whom you wrote Parsha Sota, Va'amra Tameya Ani. And then she says, you're right, I'm Tameya. Right? I committed adultery. So Upetura, In Megillasa Kshera L'Sota Acharas. Alma Ksiva L'Shma Ba'inon. So we'll say, listen to this. So let's say again, you bring a woman who suspected Sota, you write this Parsha Sota, she then admits that she committed adultery, so we have not yet erased, we still have the piece of parchment. You can't use that for another Sota. Can't use that for another Sota. Why, says Rashi? Alma Ksiva L'Shma Ba'inon. You see from here that Parsha Sota has to be written in the Shema. V'hua dinami de'ein mochakin la mina Torah. So we'll say the fact, according to this opinion, the fact that Parsha Sota needs to be written in the Shema would seem to indicate what? That you cannot take Parsha Sota from the Torah, because again, Parsha Sota from the Torah was not written for the sake of this particular Sota. However, Se'in Megillasik Shela Ashkos Bo Sota Acheres, Rabbi Achi Bar Yoshi Amar Megillasik Shela Ashkos Bo Sota Acheres. So Rabbi Achi Bar Yoshi would seem to say, no, you can use that Parsha Sota to go ahead and give another Sota to drink, which would seem to indicate that what Rabbi said, that Parsha Sota does not need to be Lishma. If Parsha Sota doesn't need to be Lishma, then what? Then you could even take it from the Sefer Torah. To which the Gemara says, Dilma Lohi, Ad Kan Lo, maybe not, Ad Kan Lo Kamartana Kama Hasam, Ela kevan de intik l'shum Rachel sula haja mintika l'shum Leia. About gavi Torah, the stama michtava hachinami de mechakinon. So Mar says maybe not. Maybe according to the Tanakhama, the only reason he holds that if you wrote a particular parasha sota for one woman, that she can't use it for another woman, is because again there it's been actively designated. So once it's been actively designated for one woman, then you can't go ahead and use it for another woman. But a sefer Torah which is written stam. Maybe Ein Rachinami can be used for someone else. Amar Rav Nach, Aval Tiyav HaTorah, this is not Amar Rav Nach Bar Yitzchak, Dilma Lohi, Ad Kan Lo Ka'am Rabbi Achi Bar Yoshi HaHosam, Ela De'ichtav Mihas L'Shum Sota Ba'olam. Furthermore, maybe Rav Achi Bar Yoshi allows you to reuse the Parsha Sota that was written for one woman, then you can use it for a second woman, because at least there it was written for the sake of Sota. Aval Gavei Torah, Dele Hislamit Ksiva, But again, by the Sefer Torah, where it is written just literally for teaching or for learning purposes, maybe in that case we would not go ahead and erase it. But what about, does Rabbi Achi Bar Yoshi not hold to the following teaching? After all, we learn, if a man wrote a get to divorce his wife, v'nimlach, Umatza ben Iro. And what happened? He went ahead and he found someone else. Matza ben Iro, someone, so a man decided to divorce his wife, and then he had a change of heart. Vinimlach. Vinimlach, Rashi says, V'chazer bomi ligarish osa. He decided not to divorce her. Umatza ben Iro, v'amar shimcha kishmi, v'shem ishticha kishem ishti. So then another guy finds the get, right? Okay. And he says, Mamash Chaparayin over here. Right, you're Reuven married to Leah. I'm also Reuven married to Leah. Mamash is wonderful. I saved myself a trip to the sofer. So what happened? What's that loch? Pasul garish bo. We'll say you can't do that. So the Rashi says pasul alo alma because of law mashma lishma. So we'll say why? Because the Torah by get says because of law sefer krisos. You're right, Torah, which means that what? A get has to be written in the Shema. So Sotu the Gemara wants to suggest that by Sota it also says Kasav Law, right? It says Va'asala Mashma Lishma. So just like Law by get means it has to be written for her Lishma, Sotu by Sota means it has to be written for her Lishma. To which the Gemara says, no. Hachi Hashta Hasam, when it comes to get, the Kasav Law, the Torah says you will write for her Ba'inan Kasiva Lishma. There you acquire a Kasiva for her. Hacha by Sota v'asa la ksiv. It says you will make for her. Ba'inan asiya lishma. You require a making for her. And what is the making for her? Asiya dida mechikahi. So by her avosai the lishma is what? By her halacha l'maisa the lishma is the erasing of the parsha sota, not the writing of the parsha sota. Look at so okay. Avosai, so listen to this. The Rambam, in Hilchos Sota, writes the following. He says, actually, so how do we pass? Again, Shnerabi Lamaiso. How do we pass? It's interesting just to see. So, by get, obviously, we require Kasiva Lishma. Now, by Gittin, remember, there's a machlokis as to which part of the get has to be written Lishma. Is it the get in its entirety? Is it just what we call the Toref, which is the individual? Because remember, a lot of the get is pro forma. So is it just the individualized part of the get with the names? But okay, we're not going to get to that now, but it has to be Lishma. What about Parashas Sota? The Kasva Shalom Lishma, O Machga Shalom Lishma, Psula. So this is in Hilchos Sota, Parak Dara Loch Yud Aleph. So the Rambam Paskins, that the Parashas Sota has to be written for the sake of this woman, and therefore, and the Mechika has to be done for the sake of those. So both the Ksiva and the Mechika. See, interestingly enough, the way the Rambam and others Paskin is, you see, here's what's interesting on both sides. The Gemara here wants to suggest that the Asa perhaps is a more narrow focus than the Kasavla. The Rambam says no, in fact, just the opposite. The Asa is a broader statement than the Kasav. The Kasav just means the get has to be written Lishma. The Asa means what? The process of Sota has to be done Lishma. The Ksiva of Parasha Sota, as well as the Mechika, the Erasure of Parasha Sota, has to be done for the sake of this woman. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, if you were to write a Parasha Sota for woman A, and she were to then say, I committed adultery, no Parasha Sota, then halacha lemaisa, you would not be permitted to reuse that for another woman. Okay? That's the lemaisa. Weiter. Says the Gemara. Amar vacha brachanina. Listen to this, we'll say. Galuiv yadua. Galuiv yadua. So we'll say now, again, so now we're pretty much settled, right? So we've got Rabbi Meir now, first learning Rabbi Akiva, then going to Rabbi Yishmael, then going back to Rabbi Akiva afterwards. Rabbi Meir being a sofer, apparently by trade, and had this very unique practice of applying chankonsum into a naparsh sota, obviously, because it has to be erased, but at least into his writing of Sifrei Kodesh, and this avoided any kind of fear that the letters may get messed up. Says the Gemara, now a little bit more about Rabbi Meir. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Amar Rabbi Acha Bar Chanina. Galui v'yadua lifnei misha amar v'haya olam. It is revealed and known, therefore he who said that the world should come into being, i.e. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, she'ein b'dorosh Rabbi Meir kamosa. There was no one in Rabbi Meir's generation like him. Umifnei ma lo kavu halacha kamosa. Well, so listen to this. That's an interesting statement. There was no Talmud Chacham like Rabbi Meir. Okay, so why don't we paskin like him in most cases? So we'll say, listen to how ironic this is. The Gemara says, Shelo yochlu chaverav la'amod asof daito. Because his colleagues were very often not able to really know what he actually held in practice. I'll say, listen to Rashi. Asof daito, lo yochlu lohavin be'ez dvarav nechonim, ube'eza in dvarav nechonim. They weren't able to tell, literally translated, in which matters he was correct or which matters he was incorrect. Shahaya no sein das miyusha v'hagun al in halacha k'halacha. Because Rabbi Meir was able to argue both sides, right? For both reasons, mutter, asr, tamitar, in a compelling fashion. What's ironic about this? Just like his Rebbe, just like Rabbi Akiva. So amazingly enough, he acquired his knowledge, he acquired his asr, Rabbi Shmuel, but again, he got his power of analysis from Rabbi Akiva, to the point that although he was clearly one of the greatest Talmidicham of his generation, like Rabbi Akiva, he often argued both sides of a plate, which is wonderful for analysis, but very difficult for halacha l'maisa, because halacha l'maisa you have to know somebody holds. Therefore, the halacha follows him in very few situations. For example, Shehu Omer al Tametar, he was able to put forward a convincing argument that something that was tame was really tahar. Omer lo ponim, and he was able to bring proofs. Oh, al tahar tame, he was able to show something that was tahar was really tame. Omer lo ponim, and was able to bring proofs to that as well. So I will say, because of that, again, makes for fascinating discussion in the base medrash, but it's difficult when you have to formalize and concretize halacha. So listen to this. Tana lo Rabbi Meir Shimo. So listen to this. The Gemara says Rabbi Meir wasn't his real name. What was his name? El Rabbi Nehoroi Shimo. His name was Rabbi Nehoroi. The Lama Nikra Shmo Rabbi Meir. I said, if his name was Rabbi Nehoroi, then why do they call him Rabbi Meir? Shahayir Meir Enei Chachamim Ba'alacha. Look how beautiful. Because he would illuminate the eyes of the other Talmidei Chachamim in Halacha. Velom Nehoroi Shmo. And his name wasn't Nehoroi. El Rabbi Nehemiah Shmo. Rather, his name was Rabbi Nehemiah. The Amri Le Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch Shmo. Others say that his name was Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch. The Lama Shnikra Shmo Nehoroi. So why did they call him Nehoroi? Sheman Hir Eine Chachamim Behalachas. We'll say, obviously, Meir Nehoroi is the same idea, just Nehoroi is Aramaic, Meir is Hebrew. The idea being that his Torah was so powerful that it illuminated the eyes of his colleagues. Absolutely beautiful. Amar Rava, Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, listen to this. Again, it's just incredible. Amar Rebbe. Hai d'mechadadidna mechaviroi. Listen to this. Rebbe says, do you know why I am sharper than my friends? Right? Why is it that I'm a greater Talmud Chacham than my colleagues? Listen to this. D'chazise l'Rabbi Meir me'achore. Because I had the privilege to sit behind Rabbi Meir when he was giving his shir. Right? Look at Rashi. What does this mean? We'll say, listen to how beautiful this is. D'chazis l'Rabbi Meir me'achore. K'shelamadati l'fanav. When I was learning by him, yashavti b'shura shel acharav. I sat in the row behind him. What happened is the Talmidim used to surround the Rebbe in a circle. So Rebbe said that I used to sit behind Rabbi Meir. V'ilu chazisi mikam. So what Rebbe attributed his success in Torah, and the fact that he was sharper than many of his colleagues, to the fact that he had the privilege to look at Rabbi Meir. Incredible. He had the privilege to look at Rabbi Meir. And look what he says. V'ilu chazisi mikam. If I would have been able to sit in front of Rabbi Meir, havi mechadna tvei, I would have been even sharper. Meaning, I both say what Rabbi is saying is, and now I only got to see his back. Imagine if I was able to look every single day on his countenance, if I was able to look at his face every day, I would have been even smarter. D'chsiv v'hayu einecha ra'os es morecha. As the Pasuk in Yeshaya says, let your eyes see your teachers. Rabbi said, there is this idea that it's not just a learning Torah from someone great, it's literally just gazing upon, looking at someone who's a true tzaddik, looking at someone who's really great, in and of itself endows one with a sense of Kiddusha. See, Rabbi Meir is saying again, yes, I was successful because I looked at the back of my Rebbe, but had I been able to look upon the face of my Rebbe, imagine what I could have accomplished. Am Rabbi Avraham Rabbi Yochanan. Talmud Hayol Rabbi Meir, Besumchus Shmo. Rabbi Meir had a Talmud, and the Talmud's name was Sumchus. Shahaya Omer al kol davar v'davar shel tuma, arboim ushmone ta'amei tuma. And this Talmud, also, it's actually very interesting to follow this progression. So this Talmud was able to go ahead, if something was tameh, he was able to give you 48 reasons why it was tameh. V'al kol davar v'davar shel tara, arboim ushmone ta'amei tara. And if something was tahor, he was able to give you 48 reasons why it was tahor. So we'll say, why is this interesting? Because apparently, in Rabbi Meir's education of his own Talmidim, he tried to convey to them solid halachic positions. Because it doesn't say over here that Sumchos would say something that was tar, 48 reasons why it was tameh, or something that was tameh, 48 reasons. What was Sumchos able to do? If it was tahor, he was able to prove to you in a conclusive fashion why it was tahor. And tameh, proven inclusive. So again, so you see Rabbi Meir, people say just amazing. Also, you're seeing the Shalshalas HaMasorah. So you're seeing again from Rabbi Shmuel to Rabbi Meir, from Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Meir, from Rabbi Meir to Sumchos. And again, how Rabbi Meir is the synthesis of these two schools of thought of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, the Sinai and the Oker Harim, and he passes it down to his Talmud Sumchos, but in a way again that gives Sumchos concrete knowledge, analysis that ultimately leads to Halacha L'maisa. Tana, Talmud Vasek, Haya B'Yavne. There was a very chashev student in Yavne. Shahaya Mitayer Es Hasheretz B'Mea V'Chamishim Tamim, who was able to go ahead and show that a sheretz was tameh because of 150 reasons. He was able to... Mitaher Hasheretz B'Mea V'Chamishim Tamim, thank you. He was Mitaher Hasheretz with 150 reasons. So we'll say, even though a sheretz is tameh, and again, he wasn't disputing the bottom line halacha, what he was saying was, again, were it not for the fact that the Torah tells you that a sheretz is tameh, I could have proven to you in 150 different ways why a sheretz is tahar. Okay. Amar Ravina, ani adun v'atareno. So Ravina says, I don't need 150. I could also weigh in on this and tell you why a sheretz should be tahar. What's the reason? Uman nachash shememis umar betuma tahar. So when it comes to a nachash, a snake kills, and because it kills, ultimately creates much tuma. Rashi says, "Nachash shememis adam ubehema." Right, the nachash kills people; it kills animals. Umevi tuma ba'olam, and it brings tuma into the world. And yet, the snake itself is not a sheretz. Interestingly enough, the snake itself is not tamei tuma sheretz. Sheretz she'ein memis umar betuma lakol shekein. Then, all the more so, a sheretz which does not actually kill anyone and is not mar betuma, all the more so, it should not become tamei. So again, Ravina is just saying, again, we'll say nobody's trying to say that a sheretz is tahor. A sheretz is tamei because Torah says it is.
The Gemara is just saying, they're showing that if you were to just use your intellect, you could have made the argument that a sheret shouldn't be tamei. To which the Gemara says, "Velohi, that's not a good argument." Ma'asekotz ba'al makavid. All the snake actually does is act as a thorn. The snake is not mar betuma. The snake acts as a thorn. Okay. Amrabi ama amr Shmuel. Shalosh shanim nechlaku beisham beisila. We'll say, listen to this. A beautiful Gemara. For 3 years, beisham beisila argued. Halalu omrim halacha kimosenu. The halacha om halacha kimosenu. So I will say, these said, Beis Shammai said, the halacha followed them, and Beis Hillel said, the halacha followed them. Yotzitz Abaskol v'omra, so Abaskol came out from Shammayim and said, Eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. Everybody's correct, the halacha ke Beis Hillel. But the halacha follows Beis Hillel. Right, so we'll say, what does this mean? V'chimei achra she'eilu v'eilu divrei Elokim chayim. V'pnei ma zochu Beis Hillel k'vo halacha k'mos. So we'll say, what the Abaskol was saying was, you're both correct, you both have very sound logic, and your positions are both correct. But nevertheless, halacha follows Beis Hillel. So we'll say, what's the pshat? What's the pshat? Why, if they're both correct, does halacha follow Beis Hillel? And this is so profound. So the Gemara says, Mipnei shenochin va'aluvin hayu. We'll look at Rashi for just a moment. It just says aluvin. Nochin means, we'll say, what? They were kind. They were kind. They had good midos. They knew how to act appropriately. Nochin means that they were pleasant. Aluvin, Rashi says, savlonim. They were patient. They were patient. So amazingly enough, it doesn't say Beis Hillel was greater Talmidei Chachamim. No, they were equal Talmidei Chachamim. But Beis Hillel, again, Beis Hillel were kind, and Beis Hillel were patient. Vishonim divrehen, v'divrei Beis Shammai. And they taught not only their own words, but the words of Beis Shammai as well. V'lo od, elishamak dimen divrei Beis Shammai, divrehen. Not only that, but they often taught the words of Beis Shammai what? Before their own words. Ke'oset shobosai, what does that reflect? It reflects an incredible humility. So this is amazing. Why does the halacha follow Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai, according to the Baskol? Because they were nochin, because they were pleasant, because they were aluvin, because they were patient, and because they were humble enough to teach the opposing opinion as well. Confident enough in who they were, but humble enough to teach the opposing opinion, and deferential enough to teach the opposing opinion before their own. Amazing. So the Gemara says, Shikosa Shani, the Gemara gives an example of this. Mishai Roshu Ruba Besukha Veshukhan Besukha Bayis. If somebody had his Rosh and Ruba, the majority of his head and his body in the sukkah, but his table was in the house. So the sukkah opened into the house, table's in the house. Beis Shammai says the sukkah is possible, because Beis Shammai is concerned that a person is going to ultimately follow their table into the house. And Beis Hillel says it's mutter. Amru Beis Hillel Beis Shammai, lo kach haya maisa. So Beis Hillel said to Beis Shammai, did not the following episode occur? Shahochu ziknei Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, levakir Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis. The elders of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel went to visit Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis, umatsuhu yoshei v'rosh shavru b'sukko, v'shulchan b'sukha bayis, and they found him sitting in the house. And what happened? In the sukkah, excuse me. And most of his body was in the sukkah, but his table was in the house. Amru Beis Shammai. So, and Rabbi said, what happened? And the story ends there. No one said anything to him. So Beis Hillel says to Beis Shammai, you see from here that even Shammai, because Beis Shammai didn't say anything to Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis. Amru Beis Shammai, Sham Raya. Beis Shammai says, you think that's a good proof? Afein Amrulo. The elders of Beis Shammai said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis, Im ka chayisa nohek lo kiyamto nitzah sukkah miyamecha. Right? They said to Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis, if this is what you've been doing your whole life, this you've been fulfilling sukkah, you've never fulfilled the mitzvah of sukkah in your entire life. And I will say, why does the Gemara bring down this Gemara? Because here, who's telling the story? Beis Hillel is telling the story. And yet what? Who do they mention first in the episode of going to Rabbi Yochanan ben Acharonis? Beis Shammai. So I will say, you see from here, Lamdecha, what do you see from here? Shekol amashpil atzmo, whoever makes himself low, whoever humbles himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu magbio. God will lift him up. V'chola magbiat, whoever lifts himself up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashpilo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring him down. Kol mechazer ala gidula, whoever runs after greatness, gidula borachas mimenu. Greatness runs away from him. V'chola boreach mina gidula, but whoever runs away from greatness, gidula machzeres acharov. Greatness will run after him. So we'll say, again, before we get to this next part, so again, the idea, so let's read this one. Choladochi kesasha, we'll say, it's a very profound yisod. Choladochi kesasha literally means anyone who forces the moment. Forces the moment. Sha'a doch kaso. The moment pushes him back. Look at Rashi, and this is so profound. Hadochi kesasha misyageya lahashir ulehiskadel. a person desires very badly to be successful and to be wealthy. Again, the Gemara is not saying this in a disparaging fashion. The Gemara is saying in a good fashion. A person wants to be successful, and he sees that he's encountering misfortune after misfortune. He's not being matzliach. So we'll say what happens. This is quite amazing. The Gemara says that sometimes when it comes to business, business is about timing as well. And if you see this, there's a fine line in life, between having perseverance and realizing when it's not the right moment. Perseverance is very important, but also recognizing that sometimes this is just not the right moment to accomplish this. And I can't force the moment to have to give things time to maybe mature organically. So says the Gemara, that is one of the greatest tensions in life. If you try to push the moment too much and it's not the right moment, the moment will push you back. On the other hand, but whoever goes ahead and allows some time, the moment to take its right course, the right moment will present itself. Rabbi, I want to point out something very important. If you'll notice, the Gemara only says this in the realm of business. The Gemara does not say this in the realm of spirituality. In the realm of spirituality, every single moment is the right moment. You push, and you push some more. And even if you're not matzliach, what do? You just push a little bit harder. For ruchnius, it's always the right moment. For gashmius, right, for material success, sometimes it's not the right moment. And if you force it, the moment will push you back. You have to find when the moment is right, then seize it then. And be humble enough to sometimes to say, maybe it's not yet the right time. So we'll say, halach lemaisa, we'll stop, we'll continue with this gemara tomorrow, but lemaisa, what comes out from here is something amazing, which is that although the Bas Kol came out and said that the halacha is like Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, right? Nevertheless, halacha could Beis Hillel. Why is it so astounding? Nothing to do with their halachic erudition, nothing to do with the fact that they had greater knowledge, simply everything to do with their midos. They were nochin, they were pleasant, they were aluvin, they were patient, and they were deferential to the other side. And the boss, I will pick up over here tomorrow. I urge everybody, come on time, come for 5:45, but make sure to come on time at least to that, because you're not going to want to miss the first couple of lines tomorrow. Fundamental machlokas, so a life-altering machlokas. Yes, life can be altered even at 5:45 in the morning. It's true. Shkoyach, Hananya, have a good day.
Have a good day, thank you very much.
Kol tov.
Bye.
You'll take notes.